Matthew Stuckey here, and I'm giving you another soul winning tip. And in this video, I want to talk to you about this idea of being saved and kind of the physical example God's trying to give to us. And when you think of being saved, you can think in a physical standpoint, somebody who's drowning in water, someone who's in a burning building. I personally prefer the idea to put the picture in people's heads of drowning in water. And so let's say somebody's drowning in water, you know, what are the physical applications that we can make to the spiritual to help people understand this idea of being saved? First off, the Bible says, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." The Bible says that if you believe on Jesus, you will be saved. And the same thing goes for everybody in your house. If they individually believe, they will be saved as well. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, here's the thing. Point number one is this, that if you need to be saved, what that indicates is you can't save yourself. Right? I mean, if you're getting saved, that means you're getting saved from someone. The indication is you can't save yourself. So it's something you can explain to people. Well, your works aren't going to get you to heaven because you need to be saved, meaning somebody is saving you. You're not saving yourself, right? So one thing is this, you know, you can't save yourself. Another thing is, you know, Acts 16, this teaches once saved, always saved, or eternal security. Because saved is a past tense thing that takes place the moment you believe. But what you're being saved from is the punishment in the future of hell. So what the Bible's saying is, if you believe today, you are saved from the future punishment of hell, and you'll never go to hell. So the whole idea of being saved actually shows and teaches that you can't lose your salvation, because then you were never saved to begin with if you ended up in hell, and God was lying when he said you were saved. So are you saved or not saved? Because if you're saved, then you can't end up in hell. Number three, it also teaches that only Jesus Christ died for you because of the fact it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something sometimes people struggle with. They hear believe and they agree to that, but they don't really understand or think about that it's not just believing that there's a God. It means you're putting your trust on Jesus Christ. And I've mentioned before that we need to make sure we explain to them it's not just believing he exists, but that your trust is not in your own good works, but in what he did for you. But it says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not believe on Muhammad, not believe on Buddha, not believe on the Pope or anybody else, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because only he died for you. Another thing is this, Jesus Christ died for our sins, past, present, and future. So which of your sins are you being saved from when you end up believing and getting saved? Is it just your past sins or your future as well? You're saved from the penalty of your sins, both of the sins you've already committed and the ones you will commit because you're already saved, which also indicates your future sins are forgiven as well the moment you believe. But it also kind of gives us the idea that if you really believe in your heart, you will call on him for salvation. It's just like somebody who's drowning in water. If somebody's drowning in water and they believe they're going to die, and they believe that they have no hope to be saved, and there's somebody standing beside the water, they'll scream out, "Help." And that's what Jesus said in John chapter 4, where he said, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And so the same sort of idea that if somebody is drowning in water, and you know what, they're going to die and they want to be saved, they're going to call out and ask to be saved if they really believe it. And so this example can really help them understand the idea of calling upon the name of the Lord as well. Now, of course, when we're talking about calling upon the name of the Lord, we should end our conversations and try to get them to call upon the name of the Lord. But what I'm saying is, if they truly do believe in their heart and, you know, they understand everything, what Jesus did, that it's eternal life, that it's a gift, it's only in him, if they really believe that, it's not going to be hard to get them to call on him at the end of our conversation because they believe that they're drowning and on their way to hell. So it's not really all that complicated. It's kind of will manifest itself from what they actually believe inside their hearts. So anyways, the five things we can learn about this idea of being saved is this. One thing is you can't save yourself. That's why you're being saved. Number two, salvation's forever. Once saved, always saved. Because of the fact you're saved from the future penalty of hell. It also shows us only Jesus died for us because it's believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It also shows us our future sins are forgiven because he already died for all of our sins. And so we're being saved from all of our sins, past, present, future, big and small. And it also shows us that if someone truly does believe, then they're going to call upon the Lord. So when you get to the end of your conversations, realize this as a side point. If you're oftentimes finding people that don't want to call upon the Lord, it's an indication there's something wrong in your gospel. Because if they really believe it, and they understand that, and they actually believe it, they will call upon the name of the Lord. And if they're refusing to and they don't want to, it indicates there's something they're probably confused on. So I'll always ask people, was there a part of the gospel you weren't sure about, you were confused about? And then usually they'll say, yeah, I'm just not 100% for sure. So anyways, the being saved example is a great example. It's in Acts 16, a great place to turn in your gospel presentations. And there's a lot you can explain just within those two verses. You can explain eternal security, salvation only being in Jesus. You can basically explain it all in those two verses. Anyways, thank you and God bless.